listening to The Worried Writer, helping you to overcome fear, self-doubt, and procrastination to get the work done. I'm your host, Sarah Painter, and I'm a novelist and self-confessed worried writer. For show notes, resources, and much more, please head to worriedwriter.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to episode 11 of The Worried Writer. I'm recording this on Monday, the 21st of December, 2015, and I'm feeling excited, both about the winter holiday and the new year. I love the chance to reflect on the previous 12 months and to think about the year ahead. Plus, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, I'm looking forward to the complete break of the Christmas holiday and all the quality family and sofa time I'm going to enjoy. This episode is a bit different to usual. I wanted to talk to you about something which has changed my life, and I thought I needed a little bit more time than usual to do the subject justice. So, although this is a shorter episode than usual, it's just me talking to you. I hope you don't mind that there's no interview. Do let me know your thoughts on the format. If successful, I may do a few more short, in-between episodes throughout the year. Don't worry though, the main interview-heavy episodes will continue. I've got lots of great guests lined up for 2016, and I can't wait to share them with you all. I've buried the lead a bit there, haven't I? Sorry. The thing which has changed my life is this: goal setting. I don't remember the exact point at which I realised anything in life, truly almost anything, was possible if you made it into a concrete goal, made a plan, and then broke it down into manageable steps. Like many apparently simple things, that doesn't automatically make it easy to accomplish. But the moment I realised that even seemingly impossible dreams came with their own roadmap was an exciting one. A lot of the language, concrete goals, plans, targets, can sound a bit daunting, but there really is nothing new or frightening here. You are, of course, already familiar with setting goals. Let's say you're going to have some friends round for dinner. You probably automatically make a plan without even thinking about it. You know instinctively that you have to decide what you're providing food-wise, with the subsidiary decisions of whether to cook something, get a takeaway, or go with bread, cheese, and olives. The thing that will sway the decisions is the goal, your ultimate aim. Do you want a swanky evening of refined dining, or do you want a hassle-free evening of raucous fun? When you set goals and plans for your writing, you do exactly the same thing. You decide on the ultimate aim and then work back from there. Before we go any further, I just want to clarify what makes a goal. It's not a dream or a resolution. A resolution, the kind of thing thousands of people will have made in a drunken moment last night, if you're listening to this when it goes out on the 1st of January, is best described as a woolly goal. I will get fit in 2016. I will drink more water. I will be a better friend. Unless you define exactly what getting fit means in concrete terms, such as train until I can run for 30 minutes without stopping, then you won't know when you've achieved it. And if you don't know when you've achieved it, it can't be classed as a goal. A dream, on the other hand, is something which is outside of your control. So here's an example of a dream. I want to get a literary agent in 2016, or, while we're dreaming, I want to win an Oscar by the time I'm 35. There's nothing wrong with dreams, by the way. They are brilliant and can be a good first step in working out what you want to do, but they're not helpful in terms of actually getting stuff done. So, let's just take that first example. You'd ask yourself why you want a literary agent. Maybe it's because you want help to place your book with a traditional publisher. Why? So that you will have a book published and on the shelves and people, other than your mother, will read it. And how do you want this to feel? Well, good, I'm guessing. You want to feel pleased and proud that your book is a thing in the world. So what you really want is to have written a good book that you're proud of. And luckily, that's exactly what you need to do in order to get an agent and a publishing contract. So, your actual goal is to write a good book. You want to write a book in 2016. That's under your control, but it's quite a big, scary goal. Check that you really want to do it. Does it give you a nervy, excited feeling along with the fear? If you don't feel excited, then try some other goals, or make that goal bigger. Did you write a book last year and the year before? Maybe you want to write two books this year. One to satisfy your readers, and one just for you. Then you'll finally be able to write that time-travelling zombie PI you've been dreaming about. Keep playing around with goal ideas until you find something that you really do feel excited about. This is the best way to give yourself a chance of success. It must be something that you truly want. Or the results of the goal, feeling good about your altruism, financial security, or whatever it might be, must be something that you truly want. Take a bit of time to really think about it. Imagine success. Imagine what that looks and feels like. This will also help to make sure that you've definitely got a concrete goal. If you can envisage the end point, the success of this goal, and what that means, it will really help as you work towards it over the coming months. Once you've got your goal and you're happy with it, you make your plan. If you don't know where to start, find someone who has done this thing before and follow in their footsteps. Do your research, find a mentor, ask advice. You do not have to reinvent the wheel. It's not copying, it's following in the footsteps, and there's nothing wrong with it. Then you break that plan down into steps which feel manageable to you. Not everyone will agree with me on this one, but I think adding a deadline is also really, really useful. A strict time frame will help you to break down the plan into steps, but also to keep to them. When you're deciding on your timeline, or your deadline, I think it's a good idea to go with something which feels a wee bit challenging, so that it's interesting and exciting, but not so challenging that it shuts you down in a funk of, I'll never manage that, despair. As we said, if your goal is to write a book in 2016, then you define that goal further, 90,000 words of fiction, say, and then your time frame, 12 months, and then you work out the steps that will get you from this starting point to that finishing point. So, in this example, that would be 7,500 words per month, or 1,875 words per week. Still not feeling inspired? Break it down a bit more. Say you're going to write every day with a day off on Sunday. Well, that works out at 312.5 words a day. Since half words are impossible, round it up. 313 words a day, 6 days a week, equals your goal. But don't stop there. Check your feelings and be honest with yourself. If that plan gives you feelings of fear, excitement, possibility and optimism, then great. If not, keep playing with the numbers. Slow and steady will win the race, but only if that way of working suits you and keeps you motivated. You'll have to keep up that steady pace for an entire year. Maybe a fast first draft is more your style, or multiple projects. Or, if you're not getting any good at feelings, perhaps you don't want to write a novel as much as you thought. What about short stories, or a screenplay, or a non-fiction project? When you break something down into manageable tasks, it really does tell you how you feel about what you're going to do. Get specific about the goal as well. Do you want a complete and edited novel by the end of the year, rather than a first draft? If so, you need to allow time for your first draft to rest before you edit, say 1 month, and then let's say 2 months to rewrite. Well, that brings your first draft down to 9 months. Then add in 2 months for holidays, illness, and unexpected life events. That gives you 7 months to write your first draft. At 460 words a day, you'll manage it. I hope this makes sense and inspires you in some way. If you're further on in your writing journey and are looking to up your productivity, then the principles are exactly the same. You want to write 3 books this year? Specify your word counts and deadlines and break it down so you know exactly what you need to do in order to hit them. But remember to check in with how you feel. If you're a professional author, deadlines are part of the job. Hitting word count goals is most likely part of your day-to-day life. That makes it even more important to remind yourself that these are your goals and aims, that you want this. Don't fall into the trap of thinking, I've got to get this draft done for my editor or agent or publisher. Remember that you have chosen this, that you want to get these things done by the deadlines because you want to make your living as a writer, because you want these books to make it out into the world and into your readers' hands, because you care about the stories you have inside you and you want to get them onto the page. And because you love writing. Do let me know if this has been helpful in any way, and if you have follow-up questions or other topics you'd like covered in the show, please get in touch at sarah@worriedwriter.com or on Twitter @SarahRPainter. Now, on to a listener question. This is from Phoebe Morgan, and she wrote, I was wondering if you might be able to do a podcast on the submission process from agent to publishers. My first book went on sub last week, and it's just so nerve-wracking. I'm finding it hard to know what to expect, and it would be great to hear some other experiences. How long people were on submission, and how up-to-date their agents kept them. Thanks for the great question, Phoebe, and I hope that by the time you listen to this, you've already had some good news from your agent. It is something that varies from person to person and from situation to situation, so if anybody does have any advice or personal experience that they want to share with Phoebe, please do head to worriedwriter.com and let us know in the comments section, or on Twitter using the hashtag worriedwriter. Phoebe, I empathise so much with your situation. Waiting is one of the hardest things about publishing. You've done everything possible, and now you just have to sit and hope. As far as timing goes, with my current agent, I've been on submission to publishers twice. It took around 6 weeks, I think, for all the responses to come in, and both ended with a contract. With my first agent, the submission process took quite a bit longer, and the book ultimately didn't find a home. I also know of people who've ended up in bidding wars or who had preemptive high offers, both of which seem to happen very early on in the submission process. And I also know people who've waited 6 months or more before actually getting an offer. Basically, timing varies a huge amount and for lots of different reasons. As regards how much your agent will keep you up to date, this is something to discuss with them. Ask. Or if you know you only want to hear if it's good news or you want a weekly update or whatever, then just say so. Do recognise that it's a tough process. Be kind to yourself, let yourself mourn rejections, and do celebrate any positive comments you get from editors. But try, as far as possible, not to dwell or to let the entire process consume your life. Something I would say, however, is that you ought to prepare for success. Now, this is something that I really wish I'd done with my first submission, but because all my hopes and dreams were pinned upon that book and it felt, however irrationally, like my one shot at getting published, I basically refreshed my inbox for a couple of months. My advice is not to make the same mistake. Put the submission out of your mind as much as possible and start a new book. Let's say you are successful and the publisher does offer you a contract. It's quite likely to be a two-book contract, or at the very least that the publisher will be interested in seeing your next work. Much better to have another project well underway than be scrabbling for an idea under pressure. It's tempting to expect the worst, as we feel this might insulate us from disappointment when the rejections come in, but I'm not at all sure that helps. Try to focus on the long term. Whether this submission comes back with a contract or not, it's just one step along the road. You have other options for getting your book out into the world, such as indie publishing. And if you're in this for the long haul, you're going to need another book, so you may as well get on with it. Okay, I hope that answers your question, Phoebe, and I hope it helps a little bit. Before I wrap up this episode, I want to say a huge thank you to all the wonderful authors who have given up their time to be on the show, and to you for listening. A quick shout out to Billie Jean, who is at Billie Jean on Twitter, Eric Gobelbecker, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but that's at E. Gobelbecker, and Nicola Doherty at Nicola Doherty. Thanks so much for your kind comments. I started this podcast to challenge myself and to try to give back something to the writing community, which has been so supportive to me, but I never expected to enjoy doing it so much or to get such a wonderful response. I am truly bowled over by your comments and questions and messages of support, and I hope I can continue to bring you useful and inspiring information throughout the coming year. I wish you every success with your writing. And as this episode is coming out on the 1st of January 2016, let me wish you a happy new year. I hope you will join me over the next 12 months and see if we can make this our best writing year ever. See you next time. Thanks for listening today. For show notes and links, head to worriedwriter.com. If you'd like to connect, find me on Twitter at Sarah R. Painter, or use the hashtag worriedwriter. See you next time.